Anyway, come on, let's open up to John chapter 18. The title of the message tonight is He Did It For You. He did it for you. John 18. John 18. Somebody's Bible's reading to them, and that's really... I have a Bible that reads to me, and I've got it on my phone, you know. And I used it this morning, actually. When I have in my devotion a long Bible reading, at times I'll click that on and sit there and watch it on the phone, read it, but it reads to me. And there's something about hearing it that just sometimes you'll hear it and it'll come across differently. I did that this morning. Now, I had a small female cat on my lap as I was doing that, and that's kind of I can't get everything, so I clicked the phone on, and she is spoiled. Spoiled. Her mother did that to her. Anyway, and her brother. Yeah, maybe her dad a little bit, too. John 18, He did it for you. John 18, verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden into the which He entered and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, now mind you, it was a lot of people. There were a lot of soldiers there that night. It wasn't like three or four or half a dozen or even a dozen. There were hundreds. They knew what Jesus had done. And they knew that it would take a large number of men could stop Jesus, right? Well, this is the way they perceived it. And so they came with a large number of soldiers, and they were not taking any chances, so they thought. And this troop showed up. And Rick Renner talks about perhaps thousands of soldiers. I mean, a little bit overkill when you look at it to get one, but that showed what they knew they were up against. All the reports they had heard of what Jesus had done. Phew, man, we can't take any chances. You know, what if He starts waving His hand? Well, it's interesting. You'll see in a moment what happened. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. They came fully armed to the teeth. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth or stepped up and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He, or I am. Literally the same phrase used in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am the great, or that I am. The great I am spoke right here. This was God in the flesh saying, I am. I mean, you can just about hear the bass and the reverb and the effect on His voice when it was spoken. I am. And what happens next? And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon then as He had said unto them, I am, or I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. They, talking about the soldiers. I mean, we're talking about a wave. Boom, it put them all down. Again, get it out of your head. It wasn't just a couple of people standing there. There were quaternions of soldiers. There were a lot of soldiers with weapons, and they're ready to go and on a moment's notice. And Jesus says, I am He, and whoom, they all fall backwards. They, it said they. That's serious. That's a serious anointing on two words. I am. I would have liked to have seen it. I've actually seen the anointing do that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. They fell to the ground. So then asked He them again. So it's kind of like, you know, they hit the ground and they're like, what in the world just happened? So He waits for them to come to. and asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am, or I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Well, isn't that interesting? The band and the captain and officers of the Jews. So it wasn't just one. I mean, they surrounded him and grabbed him and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest, the same year. Now, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now, you know, this night, okay, it's Wednesday night tonight. We know that Jesus was crucified on a Friday. So this would have been taking place on a Thursday, okay? You know, and you read further down in the story, and this is when John and Peter, see, the high priest knew John, knew who he was. And he goes and talks to the person at the door about letting Peter in. And so they let Peter in, and then she says, wait a minute, aren't you a disciple? This is kind of interesting because she didn't recognize John as a disciple. I think she let John in because the high priest knew him, and she would have known that. But Peter, she says, aren't you one of, you remember? And he denies it. And then they're standing around at the fire. I said this, and I said to Jim before and some of the others, it was supposed to be 41 degrees tonight in Jerusalem. If you're standing outside, 41 degrees, would it feel good to stand by a fire and warm yourself? Right, it would, right? There's no telling. It may have been 35 degrees that night, okay? We're talking this time of the year. We don't know precisely, you know, but we know it's this time of the year. So it gets chilly at night. And anyway, so this is going on, and of course, and when Peter denies Jesus the third time, the cock crows. And Peter is feeling a whole lot of guilt, okay? But this time of the year for us as Christians is vital in our walk with the Lord. It's a vitally important time for us. It is right at the top in our list of important days or times, resurrection time. Yes, of course, the birth of Christ is an important thing that we celebrate, because without him being born into the earth, coming into this world the way he did, there's no way he could have died. He had to be born so that he could die. So we know this death, burial, and then the subsequent resurrection from the dead are ultimately what gave us the new life that you and I enjoy. He had to be born first so that he could die. So Let's not start splitting hairs about all of it. They're both very important events. But for us as believers, and we were talking about this today, maybe it was yesterday, this is such an important time of year that we focus on what he has done for us. Who we are, what we've been given, and where we spend eternity, or will spend eternity, all hinge on our acceptance of the one who was front and center in these events that are spoken of and written down for us to read and to study. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Amen? The events are all true, and the names haven't been changed to protect the innocent, you know, the old dragnet thing. No, the events are all true, and they're backed up by eyewitness testimonies. They've been recorded for posterity's sake, so that they can be handed down generation after generation, and that's exactly what has been done. And we hand them down through the reading of the word now and telling of the word now to our families, to people that we meet. This is all part of this process. This is what we do. Praise God. It's handed down for future generations to know. Didn't the Lord say something like that to Abraham? Do you remember? Why was he able to trust him? Because he knew that he would teach it to his kids. You out there that have children, some of you in here, of course, have children, need to be talking the word with them. Talk the word with them. It's too easy to get caught up in what the world is saying these days. There's so much junk out there and so many distractions. Don't you get caught in the distraction. You set the tone for your household. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. I appreciate parents that, put the word first in their life and thereby show it to their children. Amen. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 10. So this kind of outlines some of the events. And, of course, you know he would be led ultimately there to appear before Pilate. And there was some procedure there that took place prior to that, back and forth from the high priest and so on. And then the whipping, the scourging that took place. And ultimately, he would be nailed to a cross and crucified for mankind. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, you know these verses. We've quoted them many times. You've read them many times. We talk about them, about how important it is to receive Jesus Christ. At this time of the year, we're talking about how important this event that took place where he gave his life. This morning, I did a bit of a word study, a scriptural study on the times where they tried to catch Jesus. 14 different scriptures I found where they were looking to find a reason to accuse him, but they could find nothing wrong with him. Huh? The Pharisees and the Sadducees did that a lot, doctors of the law. Of course, we know who was the guy that said, I find no fault in him, and he washed his hand. Remember? Punchy Pilate, or Pontius Pilate? Punchy Pilate. Isn't that Punchy Pilate, right? But you go and you look in the Word, and they were constantly trying to trap Jesus. Always looking for some way to find the chink in his armor, to find the weak point. You know, everybody has a weakness. Well, they were dealing with God in the flesh. And it frustrated them. They thought they had him on one occasion when they took him to the brow of a hill after he declared that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. You remember that? And they take him to the edge of the hill. And they're going to throw him off and gush his bowels out. My goodness, that's what, you know, would happen when you threw a person down and they hit the rocks. And I mean, horrible stuff. Jesus turns around and walks back through the midst of them. I mean, here it is again. The eyes of God looking at you as you were ready to try to throw him, off a hill. I think on that a lot. I remember that incident a lot. He lives in me. He walks in me. When I lay hands on the sick, he's laying hands through me. I want people to see Jesus Christ in me, right? We want people to see Christ in us, the hope of glory or the expectation of glory. And I tell you what, we continue to deflect, remember? You can go back and listen to the Sunday service. Deflect the glory to the Lord, reflect the glory that resides on the inside of us so people do see Jesus in us. Oh, absolutely. But I think on that incident, another one I think on is when Peter was in prison and he was going to have his head taken off the next morning, and he was so confident and so at peace that he fell asleep and the angel had to kick him to wake him up. I think about that. And you can't sleep at night? You know what I'm saying? Because you wake up, you're worried about something? Well, let me ask you this. Are they going to execute you in the morning? No. So why not trust God? Amen? Go back to sleep. I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, woke up, and I can tell when the Lord's putting something in my heart. So you need to be aware of if the Lord wakes you up, he needs to be able to wake you up and call on you in an instant to pray. So I did. And I talked to the Lord in the middle of the night. I enjoy that. And what's really neat, when it's God, you can go right back to sleep. If it's you or something else, and then the worrying starts. Oh, gosh, man. Devil's such a stinking liar. Amen. Amen. What a little punk. He's a punk. You know, that's the one that one day the scripture says, we're going to look and say, is this the one that deceived that little imp? Deceived the nations? You need to get that into your sight today. He is under your feet, thank you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have authority over him. Amen. So look at Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? Man, the clock in the back of the sanctuary here stopped, so I have no idea what time it is. Look on that watch, that check out. Well, I'll check it. Well, we got a little time yet. Anyway. You know, Brother Copeland keeps one up on here, you know, and mounts it right there so he can see what's going on. And then his alarm will go off. It's like an old car, you know. That's what somebody needs to get me a nice one that we can put right there, although I can see that one, so it's okay. Maybe I need another watch. That's, you know. You guys, come on, man. Yeah, that's all right. Romans 10, look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even, or that is, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, okay, the Lord Jesus, and shalt do what? Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How do I get saved, Pastor Dan? How do I get saved? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, the Bible says that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, then you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's a little key right there. You need to believe in him. So we said, well, I don't know. I don't really know if I believe in him or not. Was he God in the flesh? How many of y'all can say affirmative? Yes. Right? God in the flesh, the word made flesh. I mean, how many scriptural proofs do you need? I'll tell you right now, I'll point to me right here. Those that knew me before I knew Jesus know that there's a God not only in heaven, but that God has taken up residence in my heart because he changed me and made me a new man. Can you say that about you? Yes, you can. You are a witness for the Lord. What is that called? An epistle read of all. Can people see that Jesus lives in you and you actually have experienced this change? Yeah, yeah. Hey, last time I saw you, you had a foul mouth. I mean, you don't want to hear that, you know, but what you want to hear is, what happened to you? You're so different. That's a perfect, here, the door's open. Give witness. Thank you, Jesus. Salvation is not difficult. Do you see that? All you do is believe in Christ, who he is and what he's done. See, this, the events that we just looked at where he was being led off to be crucified led up to that place where they put the nails in his hands and the nails through his feet and the crown of thorns on his head and the spear in his side. And he was that perfect, sinless sacrifice for mankind. Sinless. He never sinned. He was pure. And part of that whole process was watching, as back in Exodus chapter 12, where they were told to watch the lamb. You remember that? They were supposed to watch it and make sure for a period of time that the lamb was not lame, had no impurities, no defects of any kind. So they would examine. Huh? Did they examine? And if they found nothing wrong, that lamb was then given over to be sacrificed. They could find nothing wrong with Jesus. That's what frustrated them so bad. You know, people try to do that today to Christians. They're looking to see if they can find something wrong with you. You know, we've witnessed this in the public forum, trying to take down a sitting president with everything they could throw at him. And as I said the other day, he's not Jesus Christ, he's not God. But the same principle applies to anybody that's trying to do good. They always want to try to bring them down. Evil doesn't want good to succeed. Oh, yeah. And they keep coming up with a dry hole. They keep coming up with, you know, that didn't work, let's try this. That didn't work, let's try this. They did that to Jesus. I've had people say things about me that were not true. Hey, you know what? Keep living the word. Just keep living the word, man. God will always exonerate you. You'll always come out on top. Always. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Christ was our example of how you and I ought to walk. Write that down. He was an example for us. What did Jesus do? Number one, he spent time with his Father in prayer and communion. And if anybody could have rested on his laurels, it would have been Jesus Christ. The other thing he did is he spent time with the Father in the Scriptures. Now, he was the Scriptures made flesh. And as I said to you before, if anybody didn't need to pray, it would have been Jesus, right? Somebody, at least you would think that. But he spent all night before the Father. He spent constantly fellowshipping. He had constant fellowship with the Father, constantly had times with him of intimate fellowship. That was our example. That's where you and I need to walk. That's where you and I have plenty of room for improvement. Amen. So are you following those two simple steps? Well, Pastor Dan, I'm setting out to follow those steps. Amen. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Have communion with the Father. Have that fellowship with him. Sit down, talk to him. Every day you need time with him. But people aren't doing it. They're just not doing it. You know, it's easy to say, you know, I know how to do that. Well, until you just flat do it, the results will not follow. So let's make it a point this night that you make a vow before the Lord. Those of you here, those of you that are online as well, those of you that are watching this, maybe you didn't see it live, but you're seeing it now, that you're going to spend more time with God and you're actually going to start doing it. You're not just going to talk about it. You're actually going to do it. Can I hear an amen? That's important. That's an important thing for you and I to set out to do. Christ set an example for us to follow, and what did he do? Christ walked in faith, did he not? He didn't walk in doubt and unbelief. There's no way. He walked in faith. So I'm going to give you four things that he provided, pretty simple. Pretty simple. Why do you suppose that it's so vital that you and I remember this stuff? Because Jesus came to be an example for us, and we ought to follow in his footsteps. Does that mean I need to be crucified? Well, the Bible does say something about crucifying your flesh, right? And putting down the flesh. Pick up the cross and follow him. And I'll tell you what, the minute you start following him to a higher level or higher degree than you have been, you're going to run across a lot of nasty people that suddenly will show up. You set out to walk in love, somebody will come to push one of those buttons that shouldn't be pushed. I'm going to walk in forgiveness, and somebody will give you a good reason to walk in unforgiveness. Like the night I was preaching on love, and I get in the car to go home. Ann had taken Austin home early. because he was a baby at the time. Maybe she was home that night. I forget exactly how it played out, but we would frequently do that. She would go home with him because I had to be at the church longer, and she wanted to get him home, get him bathed and all that thing, you know, when they're a baby. And I pulled out, and I pulled up to the stop sign at the old church building down on South Lowry. There was a car coming, and it was a two-way stop. We had to stop, and they had to stop across the way, and this was through traffic. And it's a, you know, small street and all that, no heavy traffic for the most part. But I got up to the stop sign. They were still coming up. I turned. They got up right behind me and started giving me the old middle finger salute. No, you were with me then. Maybe you weren't. Yeah. I held my composure without my wife right there, you know, keeping me under control, you know. But, you know, I thought, I've been preaching on love, talking about walking in love toward people and giving people the benefit of the doubt. I turn out a totally legal turn. I didn't do anything. I didn't cut the guy off. I didn't flash my brights at him. I didn't, you know, when he started to turn, I cut in front of him. I had plenty of time, and it was a big surprise to me. I look up, and this guy's on my tail, and I can see him giving me the finger, and I'm like, you know, I had to go back there and break that finger off and ram it right in his ear. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so you guys are so holy. Now, some of you ladies may not have thought that, but I'll guarantee every man in here has had that thought. And some of you women have, I know that. And the Lord said, love, huh? And somebody would mistakenly say, God sent that person to test me. That's a lie. The devil sent that person to test me. That devil came to steal. Kill and destroy. Sure he did. He came to steal the word that was sown in me, that I had sown to the congregation that night. And you know what? I just thought, so I waved at him. That probably ticked them off. But I just, hey, all right, you know. What are you going to do? You know, you don't want to get into a confrontation. That's horrible. Okay, so Christ set an example. He walked in faith, right? Number one, he provided us with right standing with the Father God. Can I hear an amen? Sure he did. You think righteousness is all about? In a nutshell, it's being able to come before the Father without a sense of guilt, without shame. I mean, that's all done for us. Christ provided that. You'll find that in Galatians 2, verse 16. I mean, you're right there. Let's just flip over to Galatians quickly. Come on, because if we, oh, it's only 10 to 6. We're okay. Yay, we better move. Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Okay, you get that? You're not justified by the works of the law. What did justify you? So next verse, not the next verse, the next part of verse 16. You're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You know, justified is just another word for made righteous. So you were made righteous by the faith of Christ. In other words, that was provided for you through his faith. See, he set an example for us to walk by. Do you hear me? He set an example for us to walk by. And, okay, he walked in faith. He walked in faith. His faith provided it for you and I. What do we have to do? Believe. It's kind of like this. Think of his faith as a pile of gold that purchased something that you have to receive. And that's literally what happened. His faith provided it for us. We receive him. We believe in him. That's what the scripture says back in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. We just read it. What saith that the words nigh thee, it's in your mouth, and then if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? Can I hear an amen? Or am I talking to, I know who I'm talking to. So he provided us with right standing with the Father God. Number two, he provided us with healing and wholeness in the face of a curse here in the earth. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, Christ hath or has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, which included health and well-being, prosperity in every way, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles by faith. Number three, he provided us with peace. Write this down, Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 14. Broke down the middle wall of partition between us and the Father, and provided peace. I am at peace with God tonight because of Jesus. Amen. He's the Tsar, the source, the prince of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Sure. He provided us with peace. Number four, he provided us with provision for every need that we'd ever have. Think about that for a second. Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory, according to his riches in glory, or use that as the measuring stick, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus. His faith provided this thing that we're talking about called salvation. You and I receive it. It's so simple. Our future is secure in Jesus, okay? That's great. We're going to heaven, and we praise God for that. But our current state and the way that we live here is determined by our walk of faith and obedience to the word that is before us. So your future's set. And some folks are like, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know I'm going to heaven. Well, praise God for it. I'll see you there. But the fact is, our current state, or the way that we walk now, is determined by us being obedient to the Lord, his word, okay? Walking in faith. If we're going to walk like Jesus walked, we're going to have to walk in faith, man. Do you hear me? How does faith come, Sharon Allen?
By hearing.
This is Sharon's verse, you guys. I guess you can read it too, you know. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the rhema of God, right? Rhema of God, the spoken word. I'm telling you, this is our example that we have to live by. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by. Get in the word. Hear the word every day. Listen to me. You are not going to, in the natural, you're not going to lose weight by on one day deciding that you're going to not eat as much. And then the next day out come the Twinkies, you know. And the big old wedge of cake. Come on. Let's be honest. How many of y'all like cake and pie? I know, you don't even have to raise your hands. I do too, Chris, and I could go for some right now, actually. Oh, gee. Easter time is coming up, you know, when the stores put all the candy out. You know what the one... Go ahead, stand to your feet. You know what the things that I... Well, you know the Reese's peanut butter. I haven't even had one of those. Yeah, you'll get me one, I know. I rebuke you. Those marshmallow eggs are kind of... Yeah. Can eat a whole carton of those like that. Shoo. Huh? Not Peeps. Oh, Peeps, I can eat those too, you know. Yeah. But I choose to show a little bit of restraint. I'm not eating the whole carton. Yeah, just so you know. There's only 12 in there, but I keep opening it up and I get 13 for some reason. Thank you, Lord. So you do that a little bit right now. No, we were just talking about keeping your flesh under control and staying and all that. You know, so you can go a day without eating as much and think you're going to lose weight, and the next day just turn right around and go back to your old habits. You won't lose any weight doing that. What do you have to do to lose weight? What's a key, Corey? What's a key? Corey? Oh, that's a key right there. He's got a key, yeah. No, but I mean, we've been talking about it because you guys have done some of the same stuff I've done and others in here have done that. And the key is staying after it. Discipline. You are a disciple. Yeah, discipline. I hate discipline. But discipline is good for us. Amen. Now, the Lord does not discipline with sickness and disease or temptations and all that, poverty, any of that. He doesn't do that. How's he discipline us? With his word, conviction by the Holy Spirit. He'll say, son, I told you. He won't make you stop eating those things. He won't make you stop looking at those things. He won't make you stop drinking or smoking those things. He won't make you do anything. Does he? So what does he do? Here it is. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You go, well, but I still want to do that. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that you need to put more of this into you to run that old guy out, that old lady out. Run that old lady out. The pastor said to run the old lady out. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyway, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight that we are your kids. And we bless you and thank you for this time of year. It's, oh my goodness, every one of us love Resurrection Day and time when we talk about the resurrection. So there's nothing new around here. We speak about the resurrection power virtually every service. About the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God, agreement and prayer that brings the power into a situation, speaking the word that brings the power of God on the scene. Father, we are not ashamed of the power. And we just want to praise you and thank you tonight for your power, your goodness, your love. Oh, you so loved the world that you sent your only son to bleed and die for us, and then raise up from the dead, and now you sent your Holy Spirit, and he resides on the inside of us, and sir, we are just elated that we have you living in us. Oh, we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the charge we received tonight, in Jesus' name. We bless you, sir, in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen.